1 Peter 4:16 reads, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today it's just me. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a second objection to why we don't evangelize. That's our quarterly focus right now, evangelism. A couple weeks ago, if you remember, we gave a definition of evangelism. Last week, Dan Gelock expanded on that definition with a very helpful description of evangelism, and we talked about an objection, something that would keep us from evangelizing. We'll do the same next week, and we'll do the same today, and then we'll turn in a more positive direction and look at why we should evangelize and how to do it. But for today, I want to look at an objection. This objection, I'm not sure how to summarize it for you, but when I say it, you'll know it. I've titled it, "Not One of Those." And really, it is that fear we have in our minds when we want to share the gospel that if we do so, the lost people around us whom we love, including and strangers whom we don't know yet, they will come to think of us as, quote, one of those. And you can fill in the blank with what one of those means. Actually, that's what I want to do first here. You know, it is very easy to clump people together into groups. It's a way that we deal with the complexity of life. We clump things together so we can get our arms around it. So it's easy to do that with people, to just clump them together. It happens in things like racism. It can happen as well with how people view Christians. It's easy to do it, and therefore people do it because we like doing easy things. And so lost people that we know and love, those all around us, they will tend to clump Christians together. And so, if the people in your life learn that you're a committed Christian, they may very well clump you into a group with certain traits in their mind. Part of that is shaped by media. Actually, probably most of it is shaped by media that they're intaking. Part of it can also be shaped by bad experiences they have had or heard about, even locally. I was trying to brainstorm, what does it mean to be one of those? What are people thinking you are? You know, you're afraid to be labeled one of those Christians. What does that mean? I think at this very cultural moment, probably for most people, it means this. On the one hand, you are clumped into a group with these moral characteristics, religious dogmatists who do not have compassion or heart, who shove religion down throats, who thump with their Bibles, who are ignorant, backwards, confidently wrong, brainwashed, hypocritical, per the sex scandals that come out in churches and infighting in churches, and stuffy fuddy-duddies. So that's the group that you may be associated with. And then there are also, I guess we would call them political associations. So people will assume if you talk to them about Jesus, you must be a very far-right conservative who believes in QAnon, who supports storming the Capitol, who wants to use religion to take control of the country, who is oppressive, regressive, and who has no compassion at all for immigrants, minorities, or women. So when in your mind you're thinking, oh, I don't want to be associated as one of those, that's probably about what we're thinking. And some of that's very accurate. If you share the gospel with someone else, that really might be the group they clump you into. I mean, that's a real risk. That's not just like, they would never. They really would do that. You would potentially be viewed as that kind of person, which will affect your relationship with whoever you're sharing the gospel with. We should bear in mind, Satan is the father of lies, and he is, in a sense, a father of hatred. So he uses lies to spread hatred. He does that, I should say, in all different directions. Even we who are believers, we can clump other people together who don't agree with us, and we can make assumptions about them. So it does go in both directions. But I think, of course, Satan has a very special interest in doing this to believers. I should point out, too, that it's made all the more difficult because that list I just read, that might not describe you, you know? Hopefully it doesn't. However, it really does describe some, maybe many, people who claim to be believers. And so when people clump you into that group, they have supporting evidence in their mind, and the supporting evidence, it's not nothing. There really are some believers. We see them in the media. Usually they're the ones we see in the media because media reports the extremes, because that makes for interesting news. People are more likely to watch. So you're going to see the extremes of Christians, so-called Christians, in the news. But they're real. They're just not representative of maybe the bulk of Christians, especially not representative of you as a believer. But you'll be clumped into that group. And Satan is just fanning that fire. I mean, he just loves that so much, to get unbelievers to just hate Christians and associate them with everything bad. What a great way to make them impervious to your attempts at sharing the gospel with them, if they assume things about you. Remember, too, that this was true in the early church as well. Christians in the early church, they were accused of cannibalism. So I guess we've got it easy today. Nobody's even accusing us of cannibalism and of orgies and of arson. And that was people just taking a little word here. You know, they're eating the body of Christ, drinking his blood, you know, hearing about communion. And then they just start making rumors, start making ideas, and so on and so forth. So you can be, if you share the gospel, hated right out the gate because of some wrong assumptions about who you are. You get clumped into a group. I want to add to that, that if you share the gospel with others, you're probably aware you may today be hated by others because of right assumptions about you, actually. So for example, there are a number of things that we hold to as believers, Bible-believing Christians, which are true and offensive to the culture. So previously we were looking at things not true of you, but people will assume it about you, and that's what you're afraid of. Now we're talking about things that are true of you, I hope. For example, believers are pro-life, meaning we want to save the unborn in the womb. That's what that means. Of course, today, that's understood by many people as meaning you are against women's choice. You're wanting to control women and not give them freedom, trying to control their bodies. It's seen as oppressive. Now, as a believer, we are for monogamous heterosexual marriage. It's just how the Bible teaches us. All the way from the beginning, that was God's design. We're taught that in the Bible. We're taught that by just common sense also, just looking, and it lines right up with the Bible's teaching. However, that common sense is not as common anymore. And so we are for marriage as God designed it. That's true. People can assume that about us, and they're right. People will hate you for that. They understand that as you, again, being against the freedom of those trying to express their own identities, gender identities that are non-conforming to Christian values, LGBTQ+. So that's seen as very oppressive. One more example, someone may assume if you share the gospel with them that you are for sexual purity, which you are. I hope that you are. But that's understood by people as you are against fun, you are against freedom, you are puritanical, fuddy-duddy, outdated, trying to ruin people's lives. So here you have a mixture. If you share the gospel, you may feel an objection like, oh, how are they going to think of me? Are they going to clump me together with other Christians they've heard about in the media and assume all these false things about me? Are they going to assume all these true things about me and not like these true things about me? So, if that's ever entered into your mind, being one of those keeping you from sharing the gospel with others, what do you do? What do you do if a fear of people viewing you that way keeps you from openly sharing the gospel? I have just one bit of advice, and it's for me too. It comes straight from Scripture. It's the passage we read, 1 Peter 4:16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering persecution. Why are they suffering persecution? I do not at all doubt it is for the reasons we just gave, because people in their day clumped them together as a group and had wrong assumptions about them, like cannibalism, together with right assumptions about them, like their views on marriage and abortion, that they didn't like. And so they treated them poorly as a Christian. It's not just as a person. And of course, it's if anyone suffers as a Christian, meaning we're not talking about if you really are obnoxious, if you are really hateful and bigoted and cruel and unkind, that's on you. That's your own problem. You're not a martyr. You're not being persecuted. You're just being a bad person and being treated that way by others. But we're talking about if anyone suffers as a Christian, you love others, you are compassionate, you hold fast to the truth, you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, you share Christ's values, both in loving others and holding fast to what is true and honoring God above all, and you suffer as a Christian, what do you do? What he says in 1 Peter 4 is, let him not be ashamed. So that's just the bare statement of it. We're afraid to be clumped together and thought poorly of. And so we get that into our head. I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to be associated with those. But he says, listen, people are going to make assumptions, of course, but you're suffering as a Christian. People have all kinds of ideas what it means to be a Christian. That's their issue. You know what it means to be a Christian. It means Christian, little Christ. You're following Jesus Christ. If that's the case, do not be ashamed of that. To be ashamed of being a follower of Jesus Christ is very similar to being ashamed of Christ, because that's what a Christian means. And so his advice is, don't be ashamed. We're not ashamed of Christ. Have you read Revelation 1? Have you read Colossians 1? Christ is glorious, dominant, powerful. Have you read the Gospels? He loves the weak. He cares for them. He's not oppressive and cruel and unkind. He is righteous. He is holy. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's everything we wish we were. That's Christ. Are you ashamed of him? Of course not. Remember that to be a Christian, it's literally in the name. That is simply you associating yourself with Christ. So others may think all kinds of things about Christians, but what are you going to do? Say you're not a Christian? We're going to go on associating ourselves with Christ. And in doing that, we can help to hopefully counteract some of the poor examples people have had when they think of Christian. But Christian just means one who follows Christ. So do not be ashamed of Christ. Do not be ashamed of having Christ in your literal name as a Christian. And then Peter goes further and says, but let him glorify God in that name. And I love that. You glorify God in the name Christian. Christian. Which is, that's the whole thing we've been afraid of here, is they'll think I'm one of those Christians. But we have to reclaim that name. It doesn't matter. People are going to have weird thoughts about all kinds of stuff. Who cares? They're going to have weird thoughts about Christian. Some of it understandable based on what other so-called Christians have done. And yet our responsibility is to glorify God in the name Christian by associating ourselves with Jesus Christ. And so that may have to be something that you pray God helps you to do. If you're afraid of being thought one of those Christians, is changing the way you think of the term Christian. Don't go into the eyes of someone else, look back at yourself, and make assumptions about what it means to be a Christian like they're doing. You instead have to go to Scripture and say, what is a Christian? And find this glorious picture of Christ, be confident in that picture of Christ, and realize that Christian just means you are associating yourself unbreakably with him, and that is nothing to be ashamed of. Now, if in the past you have hesitated to share the gospel, maybe especially with those people who are extra sensitive to the poor behavior of so-called Christians, if you have not wanted to bring up Christ, say, in family gatherings, or at work because you don't want to be, quote, one of those Christians. If you've thought that way in the past, well, may God help you now to think this way.